Welcome to my commentary on Peter's second epistle, this section, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Peter begins, "Dear friends," he's speaking to them, actually appealing to his readers as friends. "This is now my second letter to you." Obviously, then, we know to whom Peter is writing, because this is his second letter. The first letter is 1 Peter, and we know those to whom he wrote in 1 Peter. He lists them, and they are those people living in present-day northwest Turkey. Peter continues, "I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." Wholesome thinking is in direct opposition to the unwholesome thinking of the antinomian Gnostics, who are trying to draw his readers, Peter's readers, away from Jesus. Wholesome thinking. The unwholesome thinking that the Gnostics were caught up in was all kinds of sexual immorality. Verse 2, "I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles." There's a fair amount said in this one verse. He speaks as of prophets and he speaks of apostles. The prophets he's speaking of here are the Old Testament prophets. So again, Peter says, "I want you to recall the words spoken in the past," meaning Old Testament, "by the holy prophets," meaning prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. He wants his readers to recall them, "and the command given by our Lord," we'll go back to that, "and Savior through your apostles." The command of Jesus came through their apostles. Now, we're talking about prophets and apostles here. Old Testament prophets, New Testament apostles, all in the same context. What Peter is doing is he is associating New Testament apostles with Old Testament prophets. He's putting the apostles of the New Testament on the same level as prophets of the Old Testament. This is a major thing, especially for a Jew, because if you were a good Jew, you highly valued the Old Testament prophets, even though the Old Testament prophets in their time were not highly valued. Now, Peter says, "your apostles." Apostles in Ephesians 4, 10, and 11 are gifts of men to the church. An apostle should be seen as somebody sent by God to people, and therefore they are your apostles. Note, the command of Jesus was spoken through your apostles. The apostles speak on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the command spoken of here is the command of the gospel that the Old Testament prophets predicted. The gospel of Jesus, the gospel of salvation, is not something that we can take or leave. It is a command just like one of the Ten Commandments. You must be saved. You must repent. You must believe. You must receive the Holy Spirit in order to be saved. It is a command. Verse 3. "First of all, you must understand that in the last days..." Now, the Bible speaks of two aspects of the last days. One is all of the age in which we live, all of the New Testament age, all of the age of grace. Peter, in Acts chapter 2, the very first Christian sermon preached, he spoke about these are the last days. So in one sense of the word, the last days begin in Acts 2. In another sense of the word, in biblical thinking, the last days are those last few years just prior to the return of the Lord. I think that is what Peter is speaking about here. He says, in these last days, scoffers will come. The Greek word translated as scoffers here can be seen as when a child or children play with one and each other and they make fun of each other. This is really what this word means. It's a childlike making fun of. So scoffers in the last days will make fun of the idea that Jesus is going to return to the earth. The particular scoffers in Peter's day were the Gnostics. They did not believe in the return of Jesus. They believed Jesus was just an angel. He was not going to return. Peter goes on to say, scoffers scoffing and following their own evil desires. And that was the Gnostics. They just followed their own evil, sinful desires. The same will happen in the last days as we know them today and beyond. Verse 4, they will say, where is this coming? He has promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. We hear that today. You guys, you Christians have been saying Jesus has been coming for centuries and he hasn't come yet. You don't think you've kind of blown up by saying Jesus is coming? Well, Peter's going to address this in a few later verses here, but that's what the scoffers said in Peter's day, and that's what they're saying in our day. But Peter, in response to that, says in verse 5, but they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. Speaking of Genesis 1:1-2 here, the Gnostics had forgotten, deliberately forgotten, about the creation story, that God created the heavens and the earth was, if you understand and read the Genesis account, was basically a ball of water before God separated the water into land and water and earth and sky. I won't get into the creation story here. Verse 6, by those waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. He's talking about the flood. Maybe it's ironic that the world began with water and it was destroyed by water. Verse 7, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire. The earth will be destroyed again, and it will be destroyed by fire when, as we see in the book of Revelation, at the end of Revelation, where it speaks of the new heaven and the new earth. Before we get to the new earth, the old earth has to be destroyed, and it will be destroyed by fire. Peter goes on to say, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. When this earth is destroyed by fire, the day of destruction, so will ungodly men be cast into the lake of fire. We don't know just how this will work out. You know, it's quite possible that the whole earth will be thrown into the lake of fire and burn forever with the ungodly men, with the devil, and with his fallen angels. Anyways, Peter is saying this because these Gnostics have forgotten the very beginning of creation in Genesis 1:1. They've deliberately forgotten about it, and because of this, they will experience what comes at the end of the Bible, the lake of fire. If God destroyed the people in Noah's day because of their sinfulness, Peter is saying, Gnostics, you will be destroyed as well. This ends this section.